introductory remarks, and I just always want to thank the music folks and the people and Brother Philip and different musicians and Brother Tom and of course Monday night we had a handful of us went out to West Wilson and heard a powerful message by Michael Ball. Pastor, we really got to get him to come. He would really do a good job here, and I think he would bless our folks. But I appreciate Sister Clara went with us, sung on the praise team. Brother Bill went with us, and Tom and Cricket went with us as well. And I do want to, we're trying to work in to do another choir special on the I'm Amazed. Just a lot going on in the next few weeks. Just next Sunday's Mother's Day. The next Sunday we have a baby dedication. The next Sunday we have the April Rains coming to minister to us. The next Sunday after that is graduation. The next Sunday after that, I believe Simon Shabinga's coming. The next Sunday after that is Father's Day. So just don't learn the words to that song. Amen. We're going to pull it out. Amen. I promise you. Isn't the year flying by already? Amen. So those in the choir and that did the Easter cantata, and even if you want to, if you weren't in the Easter cantata, you can still sing with us, and we're gonna keep that going because there's something powerful and anointed about music. Amen. I'm telling you, music will make the difference, and I just praise God for all that He's doing in our people. And I must say, it is the people. And I want Skylar and Julia to sing more. Amen. I want them to sing. Some of you other ones have said something to me about singing. And now you got to tell me now. I'm not going to go out there recruiting a lot of people. Because if I recruit one and don't recruit the other, then I'm in bad shape. Amen. But if you feel led to sing, you always let me know. And we'll do what we can to work in. And we're going to learn some new music. Amen, Sister Jane. We're going to learn some good songs that the Lord is putting upon our hearts. Because I want us to stay fresh in our worship. Amen. Sometimes if we sing the same ones over and over, we kind of sing it by habit. Habitat, something, that's a joke between me and Darnell. But I want you to understand something today, that the Bible is alive, and if you read the book of Psalms, it was all music, singing to the Lord. So praise God for what He's doing for every one of you that are involved. One more time, can we just appreciate what the Lord is doing at Westmoreland? The Wilsons, everybody, got a big part to play. And Derek has stepped up, and he has actually stepped out to go to the youth service. And I looked at him back here and just working, and Brother Baker and those folks on the Hope's back there. Wave at me, Hope. Amen. She went from the street to the seat to a place of service. Amen. And so that's the way it should be. Amen. From the street, and then we get them on the seat, and then we get them serving the Lord. Amen. And you know what? I see people like Sister Carolyn and others that go out to those buses and bring our young people in. Everyone in this building, you are special, and you have a part to play. Even, I know Brother Ray and Sister Judy for years served in churches and as deacons and treasurers, and now they're not able to serve. But them just being here is a serving to us. Amen. So every one of you, just give God for what He's doing in your life. And others. Amen. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5 on the next slide. You'll see. I want to read a scripture to you tonight. And I want to, over the next few weeks, talk to you about a word that's in my spirit that I believe will be a blessing to you tonight. So would you stand with me tonight and go to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And then, of course, our youth pastor is doing a great job. I don't want to leave anybody out. And our pastor and first lady are doing an awesome job. Amen. The Lord is worth. There's a lot going on here at Westmoreland. There's more for Westmoreland. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you're there, say amen. And Sister Hope, just as a way that I know that it's behind me, just give me a thumbs up when it's ready. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Next slide. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Wow, I believe that. It's that time to do some catching for Westmoreland. Amen. And Simon answering said, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Sounds like a deacon board meeting if I've ever heard one. Amen. We've done this and we've done that and we haven't seen this. But Jesus said, Peter went on to say, and this is the good side of the deacon meeting, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Next slide. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners. Somebody say, we need partners. Amen. They beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other side of the ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships. Started out with just one. Praise God. Now there's two. Amen. So that they began to sink. Father, I pray. Just go to the next slide. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of your word. I thank you that there's a nevertheless for our church and for our lives and for this season. Anoint your servant to preach, and God will give you the praise for the catch, for the harvest, for the nets that are going to break, for the partnership, for what you're doing in our midst. We give you the praise. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody that you're blessed and highly favored tonight. Amen. And you may be seated. And I want you to give the Lord one more hand of praise here tonight. Amen. He is worthy of all of the praise. Amen. Now, many times as a preacher, I have preached through entire books of the Bible, verse by verse. And then there are times when I've preached through chapters of the Bible. Perhaps maybe like Psalm 23 or 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And every now and then, a lot of times, I'll preach on one verse, like John 3:16 or perhaps Acts chapter 2, verse 4. But I don't want to do a book, and I don't want to do a chapter, and I don't even want to do a verse, per se. I want to do a series tonight and over the next few times that I'm preaching. I want to do it on a single word. And that word is found throughout the King James Bible, found almost 100 times. It's a word that we will discover that has brought life where there was death. This one word has brought help where there was panic. This one word has brought hope where there was fear. It is a word that has changed the course of time and eternity. And that word, if we go to the next slide, is found in our text tonight in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, if we can go back to Luke chapter 5, verse 5, I may have missed that. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. But nevertheless, say that with me, nevertheless, say it again, nevertheless, one more time, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise for that tonight? I said, nevertheless. Now, it's not a word that we use much anymore. But although it's not a word we use much anymore, it is a truth that we can use forevermore. And if we can go back to the slide that you had just a moment ago, because what this word really means is however, or it means yet. And we had a preacher came through here a few years ago that preached yet. I'll never forget that. In fact, I listened to the CD not long ago. It means notwithstanding. Or here's what I really like. If you want to know what the word nevertheless means, here's my favorite definition. It just means in spite of that. Come on now. I really like that. In spite of this, that is a reality. In spite of my sickness, there is a healing in Jesus' name. In spite of my brokenness or being broke and financially, there's a blessing, a first fruits coming in the mighty name of Jesus. That word nevertheless means things are about to change. That word nevertheless means God is up to something. That word nevertheless means it ain't over until it's over. That word nevertheless means don't give up. That word nevertheless means the devil is already defeated. That word nevertheless says it looks hopeless, but and I believe that God is going to do something in your situation, in your aggravation, in your devastation. If you're dealing with delays, if you're dealing with denials, if you're dealing with discouragement, if you're dealing with defeat, here's the word for the season. Shout it with me. Nevertheless, one more time, nevertheless, give him a hand of praise. Nevertheless, God is up to something. And so over the, I'm just going to hit on several of these over the next few weeks. There's the nevertheless of prayer. If you'll go to the next slide, Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. Prayer changes everything. Nevertheless, amen. And then in the next slide, there's the nevertheless of hope. Lazarus has been laying in the grave, and Jesus seemingly has delayed. In John chapter 11, verse 15, and Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. What? But nevertheless, let's do something. Nevertheless, roll away the stone. Somebody say amen tonight. And then on the next slide, there's the nevertheless of salvation. I'm going to preach that Sunday morning on the 19th. Psalm 106 verse 8 says, nevertheless, he saved them. Isn't that great? You know what that means? That means that person didn't look like they had a lot of hope. That person looked like they were really on drugs, too far gone. That person looked like that they didn't ever want to go to church. But nevertheless, God got a hold of their heart and saved their soul and brought them into a right relationship with God. Somebody say amen tonight. And then there's John chapter 16 and verse 7 on the next slide. This is for Pentecost Sunday, I think, if we can time it just right. And John chapter 16 and verse 7. What does it say? I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that's the nevertheless of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then, nevertheless, the next slide. Here it is in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 64. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, but nevertheless, I say to you hereafter. Somebody say after. Amen. You shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and what? Coming in the... Brother, that's the nevertheless of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is about to return. I know things... it looks like he's delaying his coming. I know it looks like evil is triumphing. But nevertheless, keep your eye on that eastern sky. The Lord is about to return. Gabriel's about to blow the trumpet. And we're about to sail through the air. It's called the rapture. They don't preach it a lot anymore. In fact, they don't believe it a lot anymore. But I believe, nevertheless, that he's about to return. If you believe he's about to return, say amen tonight. Nevertheless, why don't you practice it? Tell somebody right now. Nevertheless. Now let's go back to a fisherman tonight. Let's talk about this situation. And point number one tonight on the next slide is the problem. Point number one, the problem. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Somebody say that's a problem. Has anyone got a problem? Has anyone know somebody that has a problem? Has anybody sitting next to someone that's giving you a problem? No, I'm just saying. Have you ever dealt with a problem? Come on here tonight. There are problems. And so it was for the disciples. It says they toiled all night. They worked their fingers to the bone. Good for them. They weren't inactive. They weren't just sitting at home watching TV and while the rest of the world was going to hell. No, they were out trying to fish. They believed. I believe they put forth their very best effort. They kept on keeping on. That is to be commended. And there is some truth to that, that they could have given up at the first hour or the second hour. And I'm feeling the Lord touching me tonight because I'm telling you, some of you are like, is it worth pressing on? I keep messing up. I keep toiling all night and I haven't caught anything. I haven't got that breakthrough. I haven't seen the results. But nevertheless, the Lord is about to show up and show off tonight. Somebody say amen. You see, the results were the same. Nothing had happened. They had nothing to show for it. In fact, I like this. I put this in my note. They were flat wore out. That's Eastern North Carolina. That's usually what happens after you work all day and eat barbecue for dinner. You just wore out. Wore out. They caught nothing. Don't you hate that word, nothing? I mean, nothing. Not one fish. Not even a little goldfish. I mean, not even a little jellyfish. I mean, have you got anything, Peter? Nothing. Well, what have you done all night? Can't you see my hair is messed up? Can't you see I've been sweating? Can't you see that I'm exhausted? Listen, have you ever been there where there seemed to be nothing? Have you ever been there when you've done your best and then come up and there's nothing? You've worked for retirement and maybe something happened in retirement that there's nothing there. Have you ever done something, maybe witnessed to somebody and they got saved and then they went on and forsook the Lord and you're like, I put all that time into it and it seems to be nothing, but I'm here to tell you when there's nothing, there's God's got something in it that you don't realize, that you don't see. He is working. He is on the throne. He is when we can't outgive God and you can't outwork God. And I'm telling you, when you think you're down to nothing, say it with me. God is up to something. Tell somebody, God is, oh, hallelujah, Westmoreland, God is up to something. I believe we ought to shout it. God is up to something. In the Rangers, God is up to something. Look at that Royal Ranger Ford out there. Amen. Isn't that great? I'm telling you, I'll be at work and somebody will get to talking and church will come up and then they'll ask me what I do and I'll tell them I'm the associate pastor at Westmoreland Church and, well, where's that at? And I'll say, it's down there on Tillman. Oh, they got a new building down there. Glory. People are noticing that God is up to something. God's up to something in girls' ministries. God's up to something in that choir. God's up to something in our pastor and his wife. Amen. And I believe they're going to preach to the nations. I believe that God is up to something in different ministries, in music ministry, in different things. God is up to something. I know it looks like nothing. I know it looks little. I'm here to tell you those postcards you send out for connections and those emails, whatever you do, God is in it. And he, nevertheless, he is working. Can you say amen? It reminds me of Dr. and Mrs. Jowett, how they felt. They were assigned to a mission in the Telegus Lone Star mission of Angolo, India. Their work proved more difficult than anticipated. And finally, their supporting agency pulled the plug. They would no longer fund it. They ordered the missionary and his family home. But time and tears had bonded the missionary couple to their dream. On that last morning, the day of the deadline, they climbed over a hill overlooking the mission with a 100-year-old Hindu convert named Julia. They greeted, maybe you'll live to be 100, Sister Julia. Amen. Amen. Do what now? 120. Okay. Well, let's just, nevertheless, amen. All right. And they all prayed and they all believed. And they talked and they prayed again. And Julia later recounted that it was an unusual prayer. They wrestled in prayer. That morning, Dr. Jowett reported as he came down, he saw a great light and a supernatural light. The cactus field was suddenly transformed into a church with surrounding missions building, none of which were there. This was in the spirit. He saw a sprawling mission compound lay before his eyes that only existed in faith dimensions. And yet the scene was as real as anything tangible. He concluded, God is most certainly not finished with this place. And almost immediately after that unique prayer meeting, after on their last day, almost immediately a breakthrough came and money began to come and personnel came. And as time progressed after that moment, some 2,222 were baptized in one day sometime later. In the course of that year, 10,000 came to faith in Christ. At one point, the compound grew to house, listen, later on, the largest Christian church in that area and in that country. The hill on which they had that prayer meeting became known as Prayer Meeting Hill. Oh, I want to tell you, we toiled all night and caught nothing. We just got one little convert. But I'm here to tell you, nevertheless, God can come through, and God is not finished. And when you've got a problem, my God can solve them. That's what faith in God can do. If you've got a problem, get ready. Nevertheless, God is up to something. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight as we go to the next slide? So not only we have the problem, but then we have the proposition. If we'll go to the next slide, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And so, get the picture here. This is the proposition. So, they've toiled all night. They've not caught anything. They've pulled their nets up. And now Jesus tells them to do what? Put them back out there. I'm about to do a Jerry Nelson dance, I'm telling you. Oh, let me tell you. Somebody say, do it again. Are you kidding me? Are you talking to me? Do it over again? That's exactly what he said. Do it again. You know, the word again is a powerful word. It's like, how are you born? Well, I was born this way. Okay, well, Jesus wants you to be born again. You know, I thought about, if you go to 1 Kings in the next slide, you remember when there was a drought and there was no sign of rain for over 3 years? We can't even imagine that here. We go 3 or 4 months without rain, and they start talking about a drought in our neck of the woods. And can you imagine going 3 years? And so Elijah said unto Ahab, now this is after 3 years. He said to Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there is what? Of a what? Of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Now, if Ahab didn't obey the Lord and on anything, he obeyed the Lord on eating and drinking. I'll tell you that now. And Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. There's that prayer again. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked. And here's what his servant said. He went up and looked, and his servant said what? Sounds like a bunch of low faith, no visionless people in churches sometime when there's nothing nothing there. And Elijah, the pastor, said, go look again. So he went out and looked, came back. What do you see? Nothing. And he said, go again. He went the third time. What do you see? Same report. It sounds like some meetings I've been in. Nothing. And he went, how many times? He went seven times. Now go to the next slide, please. And it came to pass at the seventh time. Somebody say the seventh time. I just want to stop right here and say, you just got to keep on keeping on. You just got to keep on praying. You just got to keep on serving God. You just got to keep on forgiving. I mean, it may not happen the first time. It may not happen the second time. You may not see it happen the third or even the fourth time. But I'm here to tell you, God's about to break through, and God will break through. And on that seventh time, and it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. Preacher, it hadn't rained for 3 years, and I didn't look, nothing. You've asked me to look again, nothing. Well, this time, preacher, I'll give it to you. And there's just a little bitty, teeny weeny cloud about the size of my hand. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's your hand, all right. It's your own hand standing and blinding you from what God is doing. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of the miracle, brother. I'm here to tell you, if God says it's going to rain, get your umbrella. I don't care if there's a cloud in the sky. Have you ever seen it rain and the sun shine on the same time? Of course you have. That's where we get the rainbow. I'm here to tell you, nevertheless, keep on praying. Cast your net out again. Keep on singing. Keep on preaching. Keep on picking up those kids, because God is up to something. Can you say amen? Oh, that word again. There's something about faithfulness. Say the word faithfulness to me. That's where faithfulness comes in. It's easy to hang in there when everything is great, but when it's tough, that's when the real church members are standing strong. Amen. Oh, our church is having problems. So I'm going to go to the church down the road. And they seem to be thriving right now. Hang in there long enough, they're going to have problems too. Anywhere you gather people, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be problems you see. There's going to be problems you don't see. But I'm not here for people anyway. I'm here for the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? He loves people. And he loves people with problems. And so guess what? The biggest problem might be in the mirror. Come on. Let me say amen to me about that tonight. I want you to know the proposition is this. It may not look it. It may not feel it. But nevertheless, let down your net. Anybody going to let down your net again? Are you going to praise him again? Are you going to give again? If you are, if you're going to praise him again, do it right now. Well, glory. I said, winners never quit and quitters never win. And then there's the proclamation. Go to the next slide. Now, here's the deal. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. And do you know you don't need to remind God about what your situation is? There's a little bit. Before we get to, now this is Peter now. He's insinuating, now Jesus, first of all, acting like he don't know, and he was omniscient. Amen? Of course he knows. And he's like, we've already toiled all night. And we've already done this hard work. And there's another angle to this. What I read into this is Peter looking at Jesus a little bit too like, Peter, Jesus, Lord, may I remind you, you were a carpenter. I am a fisherman. And while you were a young man and hitting a hammer, I was on these lakes and I was catching with these nets. I know what I'm doing. Sound familiar? Come on now. Come on. Come on. Hadn't we all done that? In other words, don't insult us. We know what we're doing. In other words, don't you know who you're talking to, Jesus? I'm a fisherman. And then another thing is peer pressure. Peter is a seasoned fisherman, and he's done his very best. He came up with nothing, and there's no need to throw the net back out again. They're either there or not. You've done the best you can. And I can see his friends over there. And I can see Peter saying, now, Lord, if I throw my net out again, all my friends are going to look at me like, he's crazy. And I'm going to tell you what, you come to a Pentecostal church, they're going to think you're crazy too. Amen. Well, you've quit drinking. Man, let's just have a beer and watch the football game. Don't do that. Don't mess with it. It's going to open you right back down. Well, I might not fit in with the crowd. That doesn't matter. Come on. You're not there to fit in with the crowd. You're with a new crowd now. And we are sober. Hallelujah. We are teetotalers. We are non-alcoholic. We believe that it's not good for you. It's not a good testimony. And just let it go. There is a wine we drink. It's called the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Let down your net. Glory to God. I don't care if everybody's drinking. I don't care if everybody else's net is doing all right. What is my net doing? What's God got for me to do? And it may look crazy. It may look ridiculous. But I'm going to do what he said to do. And when you do what he says to do, you'll get what he says you'll get. Nevertheless. Amen. And notice, go to the next slide. He said, now, Lord, you're talking to Peter. But here's the proclamation. Peter says, nevertheless, I'll do what you said. I don't understand. I've already tried it. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, what a proclamation. Somebody say, nevertheless. And then as we go to the next slide, the performance. Because here's what's happened. Here's what's happened. I love this. Oh, my goodness. Some of you might run the aisle now. Luke chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. And when, now on the next slide, thank you. And when they had done this, turn around to somebody, you got to do it now. Amen. Nike says what? Just what? They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. You remember the ones that were making fun of them? The ones that they thought was going to make fun of them? They weren't making fun of them. They were like wanting to get in on it. Amen? You don't drink? And then they see God work in your life. And what they're going to do? They're going to say, well, I don't need to drink either. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. You don't live in a licentious relationship. You see, there's only one. Listen to me and hear me loud and clear through the live stream. Young people, whoever you are, even people in their 60s. I don't care how old you are, or young you are. There is only one way to have a relationship between a man and a woman. It is when you are married. Other than that, it is wrong. It is not. It's not to be even named or thought. You don't need to spend the night. You don't need to sleep on the couch and she sleep on the bed and we're just good friends. No, you need to let down your net and you need to do what Jesus said do and walk holy because well, I don't care what people think. You better care what your testimony is. And I know for people here tonight, not one person that applies to, but that's all right. Somebody may be listening that it applies to. Come on now. Amen. Sometimes we need a reminder. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we are to walk holy. You know, holiness is something we can never attain on our own. But holiness is something that we should always try to obtain by grace through faith. Amen? I want to live a godly life. I have certain convictions in my life. I have certain things. It even includes how I dress and how I present myself and the clothes that I wear and the things that my wife and I, when we make choices, we want to make sure that people, there's not anything that will, and I don't even like to wear loud suits, you know, with bright colors and stuff like that because I don't want people to see me. I don't want people to, and it's okay if you do. I had some, a man that I pastored in Smyrna, man, he wore the loudest suits. That's fine. I'm not against that for you. I'm just saying for me, I'm a preacher and I don't want you to see my tie. I want you to hear the word of God. Amen. I don't want anything to draw attention to me. I want everything to draw attention to Him. Amen. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And I want to walk holy. We need to walk holy before the Lord. And I don't know how in the world I got on the subject of holiness tonight. But I will tell you this, that you just know that you're making a difference when you live for the Lord. Amen? People are watching you. There's people on the other boats that they're going to one day, their nets are not going to be full. This world is not going to give them what they want. They're going to come to death itself and realize that their nets are empty. And they've toiled all their life and they don't have assurance. But oh, they're going to remember you and how that there's somebody that helped you through the trials and the difficulties of life and the greatest trial is death itself. In fact, Peter, when he saw this, he said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Oh, I know I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. But friend, it's amazing grace. It's mercy that rewrote my life. He loves us. He filled those nets. And if he fills those nets, he will fill our hearts. Hallelujah. Give him praise and give him glory here tonight. Praise God. I just believe God wants to sink our boats a little bit. I believe he wants to do. Listen, it was not what they expected. When he said, nevertheless, at your word, and that's where you need to be. You need to say, nevertheless. You need to realize God's got a nevertheless. Because, you know, I can see when they launched out those nets, I'll bet you anything. They thought, well, we might catch a few fish. Preacher, we're going to do what you say. We might get one or two new people. Uh-oh, come on now. No. They probably thought, well, we might even get a good batch. My Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, and if you want to get on fire, you listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones preach on Ephesians chapter 3:20. If you find it on the internet, you'll let down your net. Because Ephesians chapter 3:20 says, he will do how much? Exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Because let me tell you something. They let down their net. Oh, brother, sister, and those fish filled that net. And then not only filled the net, but it filled the boat. But it didn't just fill one boat. It filled two boats. And it didn't just fill them up to where they could handle it. Those boats felt the weight of it. Those boats and those people, they knew the nevertheless God had showed up and showed off. He's about to do it. Why don't you praise him? Why don't you let down your net? Why don't you glorify him for what he's about to do? The Bible says, open your mouth. Well, I like this. For he was astonished. God's about to astound us. I'm astonished at these testimonies today. I'm astonished of what God, a lady with lung cancer, come on here. I'm astonished at the people's lives that I've seen change, like Hope and Samantha and Brother Khaled and different ones, Milton and others. I'm astonished at what he's doing in your life. I'm astonished at the answers to prayer that he does for us. Oh, my friend, nevertheless, God wants to do more for Westmoreland. Musicians, would you come, please? More in your life. I want him to do more in my life. I'm hungry for more. Now, this isn't the only time this happened. If you'll go to the last slide. This is God wants to do more in your marriage. He wants to do more in your money. He wants to do more for your misery. He wants to do more in your ministry. Amen. How many boys we got in Royal Rangers? About 10, maybe 15? Oh, I want us to have 24. Hallelujah. And 36. Amen. And they come up and say, Pastor, we got to have another building out there. And girls' ministries. Well, we had classes in this one and classes in that, and everybody was on top of each other. Now we got plenty of classes for girls' ministries. But I don't want the girls' ministries to have plenty of classes. I want them to run out again. Amen. How many of you know some little girls that need to go to church? Some nieces, some grandkids. Come on now, do you? Sure you do. How many of you know some little boys that need the Lord? Darnell's got one coming, and his mother came. I saw his mother the other day. I hadn't even told Darnell this. I forgot to tell her. And he had gotten in trouble. He had done something he shouldn't have done. And she told him that he had to stay home from church Wednesday night as a form of punishment. And I'm thinking, and I said, ma'am, I said, I'll tell you what. There's one thing Royal Rangers will teach is to teach young boys the things that they need to know. And so, Brother Philip, I'm going to talk to you about it after church. Don't let me forget. I need to talk to you about it because there's something I want you to slide in the back door and mention that he's been tempted with. Oh, God wants to fill up our Rangers. God wants to fill up Westmoreland. It's long overdue. I pray constantly that breakthrough that the pastor's been toiling so many nights in prayer. And I just believe that he's here with a nevertheless. But we got to say it. Somebody say, stand with me tonight. Nevertheless. 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 Stand with me tonight. Go to John chapter 21. That's how we're going to close tonight. Because it happened one time. But did you know that it happens the second time? That this is at the end of the Gospel of John. But when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the... This was after the resurrection. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said unto him, children, have you any meat? And they said, no. Now just understand, they're out there trying to catch fish again. And they didn't have any results. And then he said unto them, cast the net on the what side? And you'll find it. And they cast their net, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of the fish. I just want to ask you tonight, are you on the right side? If you get on the right side, cast your net out. Throw up your praises to God. Keep on preaching. Keep on praying. Keep on giving. Keep on serving. Are you on the right side of forgiveness? Have you forgiven your enemies? Are you on the right side of paying your tithes and offerings? Are you on the right side of being faithful to God? I promise you, when you're on the right side, it ain't going to be long before you'll see a nevertheless. Come on and give him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah.
Of the Lord is in this place.
He's here tonight.
I can feel his mighty power.
Oh,
and his grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory.
Nevertheless,
on each face.
Nevertheless,
surely.
Nevertheless, the problem,
the
proclamation, the provision, he's here. Sing it again. Lift up your hands and sing.
Surely the presence.
Come on over to the right side.
The Lord is
our boats to overflowing. There's more for Westmoreland. The glory of the latter house, greater than that of former.
I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord.